Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Gentrack Investor Briefing for Interim Results Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Your host today is Ian Black, CEO, and he is joined by Tim Blewett, CFO. Please note this call will conclude by 11 a.m. I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ian Black. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning. As the moderator mentioned, we've got Tim Blewett on the call as well. Tim's taking part in our investor briefing for the first time, having joined the company 6 weeks ago. Welcome to this call. I'll be presenting Gentrack's interim results for the 6 months to 31st of March 2018. Firstly, I'll just provide a brief introduction to Gentrack. Our vision is to be the leading specialist provider of business applications to energy and water utilities and airports globally. And we now proudly support over 200 customers where our solutions are mission critical, deeply embedded, and highly valued. Gentrack's business model delivers a high level of recurring revenue and profitable growth, and we distribute the majority of the profits as dividends. Our target markets are experiencing a time of significant change. In the airport market, the pressure to improve passenger experience, whilst at the same time using airport infrastructure and resources in the most efficient way possible, is focusing our customers on the increasing value of technology. In the energy sector, new entrants are challenging the incumbents with low-cost offers, and larger suppliers are beginning to respond with enhanced digital and multi-brand strategies. In the water sector, excellence in customer experience has become the focus. And in the UK, we now have competition between suppliers in the commercial water market. All of these factors are driving demand for our solutions and creating opportunity in our customer base and in the wider market. The first half of this fiscal year has been very successful, and we've driven by some significant wins in the UK. These have delivered revenue and profit ahead of plan. We added E.ON and Npower to our customer list in the UK. These are two of the largest energy suppliers, and we're delivering transformational solutions in timeframes which their traditional software providers cannot match. We launched the Veovo brand, which brings together two of the acquisitions we made last year under a global airports business. With the combined offering, we provide a highly differentiated solution set to airports, which enables them to drive operational efficiency through advanced predictive analytics and enables them to deliver superior passenger experience to travelers. We've completed the development of the Gentrack platform, which provides ready-made connectivity to third-party applications and an environment for third parties to develop innovative solutions against our products. We're also driving faster deployments through ongoing investment in pre-configured and market-ready software solutions. We're delivering localization to support customers through the regulatory changes they need to comply with in order to operate. We're a truly international business, and at the half year, we had nearly 500 people supporting customers in 36 countries. Our teams based in the UK, Australia, and New Zealand are industry experts, and we've been able to attract top talent to the organisation as we grow. We provide our solutions on a software-as-a-service basis, and we provide a comprehensive service offering which provisions and maintains their key business applications in the cloud on a subscription basis. Just moving on, the company delivered revenue of $52 million and EBITDA of $15.9 million. These results are up 80% up on the first half of FY17, in part due to the incorporation of the acquisitions we made at the beginning of the second half of last year. Therefore, to provide some additional insight throughout our presentation, we have provided a comparison to both the first and second halves of the year. Of last year, sorry. Both first and second half of last year. In the slides which accompany this briefing, we include details of comparative results for revenue, EBITDA, and NPAT for FY17 and FY16, which highlight the continued growth of the business. We're very pleased with the performance of the acquisitions, and the integration has progressed smoothly as shown through the results. Moving on to talk about the divisional performance of the company. The utilities business represented 82% of total earnings. In the UK, we now have 40 energy suppliers running their business on Gentrack solutions, as well as three water companies, including the most successful challenger in the competitive water sector. Gentrack solutions help them compete on price and service against large incumbents. Of particular note, we signed contracts with NPower and E.ON, and the first phase of the E.ON project was successfully delivered in record time. The combined airports business, now called Veovo, delivers approximately 18% of total earnings and profit. The acquisitions brought an impressive list of reference customers, and we're already seeing opportunities to upsell the broader Veovo platform. If we focus on the geographical analysis of the revenues, the UK and Europe now deliver over 50% of the revenue for the group. Australia had an extremely busy year last year, and the first half includes the project delivery work associated with the completion of some large projects in Australia, delivering results that were up 11% year on year. We also saw the effect of projects starting in our newest market, Singapore. And when combined with airports projects, the revenues in the rest of world classification were up 61% on prior year. 89% of revenues are now from outside New Zealand. However, New Zealand is a good base for software development, and we continue to add to and strengthen our software engineering capability in New Zealand. If we look at the split of revenue by type, there are several areas to highlight. Our recurring revenues grew 89%, and license revenues continue to grow at pace, showing a 349% growth year on year. Total recurring revenues were 55% of overall revenue, which is an important driver of long-term value for Gentrack. Given that project revenues have increased 35% year on year, we've seen a notable shift towards software and recurring revenues as we productize our solutions and customers take on software as a service contracts. Turning to our people, we are rapidly scaling the UK organization to support the growth we're experiencing in that market. And across the board, we've been improving facilities and training to ensure that our reputation for industry expertise remains a core value offering. In the first half of this year, we added 58 people, and with the acquisitions, we now have 200 more people in the company than a year ago. We're attracting top talent as our brand gains strength, and we have high retention levels. But we continue to focus on employee engagement as we expand. We're also pleased to see staff moving between countries, spreading our product expertise and offering interesting career development opportunities. So if I move to the next sort of area of commentary, which is our outlook for the full year. As I said earlier, we've had a strong first half, which has benefited from the early delivery of some key contracts, and we have a strong pipeline of opportunities in all markets. We expect second half performance to be broadly in line with the first half, noting that the timing of key contract wins and project milestones are subject to uncertainty. Current trends and performance are consistent with our long-term target of 15% CAGR EBITDA growth. And we continue to invest in our solutions to drive our organic growth. That concludes my briefing, so I will hand back to the moderator to open the line for any questions. If there's time at the end, I'll also address any questions that have been submitted online.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Joshua Dale with Craigs Investment Partners.
Good morning, guys, and congratulations on a strong half. Just a few questions from me. First, do you have a constant currency revenue and EBITDA growth figure versus the second half of 17?
Hi, it's Tim here. I don't have that with me, so that's something I can follow up on after this call.
Okay, great. And what FX rates are you assuming in your outlook statement?
I think broadly in line with the current levels. GBP and AUD is the most sensitive, obviously. But we've allowed a little bit of headroom in there, given some of the fluctuations we've seen recently.
Okay, and I noticed the NPATA number wasn't provided in this result. Do you have that number, and are you still basing your dividend policy off that number?
Yes, we are basing our dividend policy off that. I believe the correct number is 10.9, perhaps.
Okay, thanks. And just on the capitalization of R&D costs, you capitalized $1.6 million for this half. When do you expect to see the, I guess, benefits of that investment materializing through your financial results?
Probably not for another 12 months, is the estimation. So we're still in flight with some of those developments this year, and we'll be bringing some of that value to market over the course of the next 12 months. So.
Okay. And is it fair to assume that sort of the same level of capitalization in the second half of 18?
Yes, that's correct. We're probably at run rate right now.
Okay, thanks. And just lastly from me, you had some margin compression in the utility segment versus the second half of 17. I mean, presumably that's driven by the NPower implementation with Juniper and perhaps E.ON as well, given implementations are sort of lower margin revenue streams?
Partially, yes. And there's also similar project work going on in Australia in that first half as that wrapped up.
Okay, that's all from me. Thanks very much.
And once again, it is star one to signal for a question. We'll take our next question from Tristan Joel with First New Zealand Capital.
Morning, guys. Just to kick off on the revenue line and seasonality in the business. Would you expect, I mean, I know you don't disclose Juniper independently anymore, but, you know, how would you characterize the year that you've just had with the NPower, business? How would you contrast that to what we would expect for the year ahead? Like, how big was that deal, and how many more of those, have you got any more of those in the pipeline? And then just on airports, I guess, I just wouldn't mind understanding what the seasonality is like of those two businesses that you've added.
Sure. So on the first point about the impact of deals like NPower, as I said in the call, we've had a very strong first half, and that came in ahead of plan as a result of some of those contracts and our ability to deliver value quickly on those. So that's probably, as we also indicated on the call, we're seeing the second half broadly in line with the first. A historical pattern has been to have a stronger second half. So that does indicate a little bit of front loading, but we've still got a very good result at the first half. The question on airports seasonality, it is of the acquisitions. We don't see seasonality impacts across the year. We do see certain months and quarters where airports tend to have budget and buy at the end of their halves. So there is a slightly uneven revenue curve on some of the projects and acquisitions and transactions, but broadly it doesn't materially change half on half.
Okay, and then just a couple of small things on the numbers. I haven't seen you disclose an actual R&D number. I understand what's been capitalised, but what was the total R&D spend in the half?
We haven't disclosed an R&D number. I don't think we've got that for disclosure at this point in time. We might be able to put that together for the year end.
Okay, but I mean, I think your capitalisation rate's probably 30 or 40%. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I couldn't. I apologise. I don't have that number to hand.
Okay, and then just the final one is just, can you separate out for us what the amortisation for the half was, and you know, I assume some part of that relates to acquisitions. You know, what part, how much of that is relating to transactional accounting, if you want to call it that.
Well, in terms of the amortisation on goodwill, it's not sort of broken out in the figures I've got, but it was a total of 2.6. So that should get you to the NPAT-A that we referenced just now. That's 10.9 million.
Okay, and the total. So you've got total D&A for the half at 3. There's no other notable amortisation aside from that 2.6.
No.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tristan.
And we'll take our next question from Justin Pisano with Blue Ocean Equity.
Good morning, guys. Just a couple of questions from me. I'm not sure if you're able to give us a feel for the like-for-like sales. You know, the acquisition of Blip, CA and Juniper. Is that something that you're willing to put out to the market?
It's not easy to do that anymore, and it's actually not so relevant anymore because we've brought the Juniper and Velocity businesses solution sets into a common business in the UK, so we don't have a way of separating out all the costs and revenues very easily.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Just on my second question, can you tell us what the ongoing debt policy will be? Do you have a target gearing ratio at all or anything like that?
My covenants.
Currently, we're within our covenants. And, you know, I think we're comfortable with the level of gearing at this point. Obviously, that's something we review as we go forward. But at this stage, as I said, we're below 1.25 times EBITDA.
Okay, great. Thank you. And one final question from me. What's the ongoing policy in terms of the R&D spend? Is there a certain target of how much you'd like to spend, and will that be all capitalised?
The way we plan R&D is based on business cases for any given initiative and a planned return on that investment. So we don't have a cap per se, but it's really what makes sensible given the market opportunity we see for any particular product strategy we embark on. There is a level at which we you know, we are comfortable in terms of the amount of development work we undertake. And I, as I said earlier, probably an indication of where we're at today is that we've reached a run rate in the business of both building new products, which we're capitalizing, and maintaining our existing products, which we're expensing, which is probably the right balance for a company in the markets we're in right now. So we don't have a policy per se, but we run that on a business case basis.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, guys.
It appears there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for your participation. We'll let the moderator just close out the call.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.